From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. There are challenges posed by this presidential election for the campaigns, for voting officials, and for the media. And there's one challenge for the whole country that we haven't faced in decades. How to debate a controversial war that's in progress? How are we doing at maintaining a civil discourse over an issue of life, death, and national policy? To find some answers, our colleague, Robert Siegel, went to a place synonymous with the complete breakdown of civil discourse over an unpopular war of years past.
In the spring of 1970, President Richard Nixon expanded the Vietnam War into Cambodia. At Kent State University, south of Cleveland, there were anti-war protests. The Ohio National Guard was called onto campus. On May 4th, members of the Guard fired into a crowd of student demonstrators, killing four and wounding nine. A visit to the scene of the shooting is part of the history course that Emily Norquist and Lizelle Jackson are taking this semester at Kent State.
I've seen people walk through it. I feel so bad when people walk through it. Like, I want to yell at them.
It's a course in the Vietnam War, taught by Professor Judith Bosaw Allen.
We are now standing at the May 4th Memorial at Kent State, dedicated to the four fallen students, but really to all of us that experienced that day in May 1970.
Judy Bosaw Allen was a Kent State student back then. Today's students weren't born yet. The events of that day 34 years ago are as distant to them as the Great Depression was to the students of 1970. But the war in Iraq, which is unpopular among students here, provokes many discussions on campus of the war in Vietnam.
I want us to be clear on the distinction between preemptive war and preventive war. Martin.
Isn't preemption that you consider the attack is coming any minute and there's troops lined up on the border?
Political scientist Stephen Hook teaches a course in 20th century U.S. foreign relations. After class last week, several of his students stayed to talk with us about Iraq, protest, and the limits of dissent. John Aaron reminds us that his contemporaries are the children of the Vietnam generation.
A lot of the parents that I know, my parents included, are critical of the government because they were unconditionally lied to during Vietnam.
You're saying your generation has been, to a great extent, raised by those people who have those memories. Have those memories.
Yes, we were raised by people that were skeptics of the government.
Rebecca Alcorn says, and her classmates agree, that sentiment among the students is heavily anti-Bush and pro-Kerry.
If you're a Bush supporter, you can't put your Bush sticker on your car. You will be attacked a little bit or verbally.
But Jessica Fries and Robert Tully point out how supportive today's anti-war students are of the men and women who are fighting. So does Adrian Brakefield.
I just don't support the people that are making the decisions.
Now when troops come home, I mean, people have parades to celebrate what they've done. Back during Vietnam, from what family members have told me, soldiers would be spit on, you know, they'd be insulted. Now it's, you criticize the government, you don't criticize the people who are being forced to fight.
And if you even see the cars, they all have the troop symbol, the little flag to support them. And they may have a pro-carrier, anti-Bush or pro-Bush sticker on their car or something, but their hearts and souls are with the troops.
Is support the troops or a ribbon okay?
Oh, definitely.
No social stigma attached to that at Kent State.
No.
It's not a code for I support Bush
no,
Cheney.
It's just that W. You can't have that.
That was Rebecca Alcorn again on bumper stickers. Kate Catalona says that while she disapproves of the decision to go to war in Iraq, she finds excessive criticism damaging to the people who are serving there.
I think if people are constantly, like, criticizing it and bashing it, it really takes a toll on people, and it not just like other American people as in manipulating their opinions, but on the people who are there.
I wouldn't disagree that it doesn't take a toll on the soldiers over in Iraq. It probably does, but at the same time, shouldn't we be questioning the government? Because if we don't, if we just stand idly by and say, okay, Mr. President Bush, go to war, you know, we support you, and that's setting a precedent for why we should go to war another time, and I think that's wrong.
That's Adrian Brakefield again. She says her brother served in Afghanistan, and her sister may yet ship out to Iraq.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the Operation Iraqi Freedom send-off ceremony of the Combat Support Company.
This week, a unit of the Ohio National Guard that's based just down the highway from Kent State, the 1st 107th Armored, ships out to Iraq. Among those attending a deployment ceremony in Akron, Second Lieutenant Jason Holchi, an accountant in civilian life who has spent 12 years in the Guard. Can a candidate criticize the war and support the warriors, as Senator Kerry has said? Lieutenant Holchi isn't so sure.
I guess you can make somewhat of a distinction, you know, to support the troops, but that coming from a politician, I mean, at the time when we're at a war, I don't know if you can make a true distinction.
You think there might be an argument instead that when we're at war, we should support the war because our guys are fighting in that war?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I think history has dictated that soldiers have suffered in past conflicts when politicians did not support them and they suffered for it.
Jason Holchi says he's referring to Vietnam. But Tom Reynolds, a Kent State advertising major whose Air National Guard unit goes to the Middle East in June, welcomes the open discussion of whether the Iraq war was warranted or wrong.
When you're engaged in war, it's always constructive to talk about it because obviously it costs money. A lot of people's families over there. I don't know, there's a deep involvement economically. It definitely ties up a country. So, I mean, yeah, it's constructive to talk about it and discuss it.
You know, there was a time when people in this country would have said, when our men are putting their lives on the line, and they were talking about men in those days only, it's not a time to debate about what
we're talking about. Vietnam?
Vietnam or before that. There was a sense in the country, you know, hey, don't criticize, you don't undermine the troops. Things have changed, it sounds like.
Yeah, seems like it. I mean, my personal opinion, I think it's constructive to talk about something, you know, that we're so deeply involved in. I mean, I wasn't alive during Vietnam. I understand what happened back then. I think back then they should have talked about it. Maybe it would have helped out a little bit, I guess.
One Kent State student made an interesting point about what they've heard about the Vietnam War era and what's going on today. She said they've heard about the generation gap of 35 years ago, and they find nothing similar today. Young people don't feel all that differently from their elders. We heard what one group of 40 and 50-somethings think about Iraq. In Chagrin Falls, a half an hour's drive from the Kent State campus, Peg Furness hosts a monthly book club. She invited her friends and their husbands over to talk about Iraq with us. They're a group of suburban professionals and business people, and most of them support George Bush. Rick Lehman is a tax lawyer.
My reaction to things is this. I live in a 9/12 world, not a 9/10 world. I live in a world that's affected by 9/11. Yeah, so I'm all for it. I'm all for the war. I don't think the president lied. I think that the decision was based upon the best information that he had at the time. I think it was based upon a view of what the right thing to do was at the time. If it was a lie, it was a politically stupid lie.
Jackie Sedlak is the rare Democrat in the group.
I've lost total faith in a president whose lies, an administration whose lies, are costing our soldiers' lives in Iraq and have mired us in a war that I think is unwinnable. And I just think it's a time for a change in leadership and administration to hopefully get us out of that. And with a 14-year-old son and the whole threat of the draft and the possibility of that being reenacted, I just feel it very personally, and it's very, very worrisome to me.
But that's the minority view in this group. One likely Republican voter faults Defense Secretary Rumsfeld for what he sees as mismanagement of the Iraq war, but most approve of the president's decisiveness. And several people, including Keith Caracol, a small business owner, say that the president knows more than he can say in the heat of a presidential campaign.
You know, I have some sympathy for the difficult situation that he's in. And I think being in a war makes it particularly difficult for him in this election because there's a lot he can't say. And there's a lot that, if he did say, would be spun or twisted, and he'd be vilified for it one way or the other.
The idea that the war in Iraq was an appropriate response to 9/11 makes sense to most of the people gathered here. But Keith Caracol's wife, Ellen, is that rare bird on whom millions are spent in the state of Ohio these days, the undecided voter. She's especially undecided about Iraq.
It's such a passionate thing. I mean, gosh. Especially when you are talking about war. I do think there's a different tension to this election than there have been in other years, you know, other presidential
elections. Because there's an argument about
a
war going on.
I mean, it's such a moral issue, too, yeah. People's lives are on the line.
People's lives are on the line. Is it for good cause or not? That goes beyond a discussion of Social Security.
Yeah.
What's the right way to fix it?
Or the tax brackets, whatever. Yeah.
You feel that?
Mm-hmm.
For this group of Kent State's neighbors, like the guardsmen and the students we spoke with in Ohio, Iraq is not necessarily the decisive issue. Many spoke of the economy or education or the Patriot Act or the character of the candidate as determining their vote more so than the war. But hardly anyone said that a vigorous debate of that war, including criticism of how or why we got into it, was somehow inappropriate to a presidential election campaign.
Later this week, our colleague Robert Siegel will be reporting from New Hampshire, another so-called swing state in next week's presidential election.